This is Mike Murphy, news director for GamerNode.com, and I am here with Dan Sutton, team project lead for Red Faction Armageddon. How are you doing?
Doing very well.
Okay. So my first question, for those who don't know, when in the Red Faction storyline exactly does Armageddon take place? What's going on at the start of the game?
So Armageddon takes place about two generations after Red Faction Guerrilla did. And what you are is you are a descendant of Alec Mason, who was the main character in Red Faction Guerrilla. And yeah, you're his grandson. You learn a little bit more about his father through Red Faction Origins, which is a two-hour movie that we're doing with the Sci-Fi Channel. But basically, you're still in the descendant, the lineage of the Mason family, and what you're trying to do is you fought alongside the Red Faction, you're still with them, and this cataclysmic event has happened on the surface of Mars that has forced everybody underground. And Darius's journey is trying to figure out what happened with that too, and also try to fend off this new threat that has come on the surface when a religious group of the Marauders have released this plague of these alien-like creatures on the planet.
And that actually was going to bring me my last question. My next question was going to be, where exactly did these aliens come from, and how exactly were they let loose? So you like to tell us that?
Oh yeah, absolutely. So along the way, you run into Adam Hale, who's the leader of the Marauder cultists, and he and a bunch of the cultists have released these on the planet. Now, it's kind of funny because we put together this 800-page document of the Red Faction universe. We've done this between over the last couple projects, and we look back there, and in Red Faction 1, there we allude to the mutants that were on Mars, and there's been a lot of kickback to a lot of these unknown things that they found on Mars, and this is kind of our interpretation of what they didn't find, or what they found in Red Faction 1, Red Faction 2. So you're kind of they've released this plague that is Hale and the cultists, and now you're out there trying to figure out how they got released and also try to, you know, save humanity in the process.
So you say it's more of a plague, so does that mean that it can actually infect people and turn them into these creatures exactly?
We don't go that far, but they do infect in structures. You'll go into an area and you'll see all these buildings that have been overcome, and they've been consuming these things as energy. They take natural resources and consume them, and they basically dry out an entire planet.
Okay. For Hale, he's the one who lets out this plague, these aliens. When the aliens take over and are let loose, does his role diminish throughout the course of the game? And do the aliens and the plague take a much larger role than him as like a main antagonist, or does he stay pretty strongly as the main antagonist of the game?
He plays pretty strongly, and the cool thing about this, actually, what we think is kind of interesting is actually he uses Darius as kind of his pawn to release these things. So he leads Darius down there. Darius is probably the most impactful miner on the planet of Mars, and basically he uses him to let loose these aliens. And then across the game, you're trying to find out Hale, you're trying to fight him, trying to get rid of him, and also then try to rid the planet of all the aliens.
The game, when the aliens get let loose, the game kind of takes a turn more from a traditional like third-person shooter action to more of kind of like a survival horror. Was that kind of the direction you guys were trying to go for with Armageddon?
It's funny because, I mean, it kind of looks that way in a lot of ways that you see it too, but we still, you know, your character's a badass. He's somebody who will mow down hundreds and thousands of aliens. It's not on the Dead Space type, survival horror type thing, like every corner you're going to basically, you know, scare yourself. But you are in these dark, you know, claustrophobic environments too, and you have to fight throughout these too. I think we have shock and we have some scare moments, but the main theme is action-adventure. I mean, that's what we've been about in Red Faction Guerrilla, and we're also about in Red Faction Armageddon.
All right. There's obviously going to be different types of aliens in the game. Can you tell us what the different types are called, what exact characteristics and like types of attacks they will have in the game?
Yeah, absolutely. We have the Creepers. They're the low-level infantry type aliens, and they kind of spew this poisonous venom at you. They're not that, I guess I would say, they're not that powerful alone, but they attack in swarms. So like, you'll come into areas and like 10, 20 of them will actually come upon you, and you have to get rid of all of those. The Ravagers are the next step up. They actually jump from buildings to ceilings. They use basically the environment around them to attack you. So they actually have long-range attacks that can attack you from there. We have the Wraiths, which are basically these creatures that they can pop in and out of cover. You'll see them, and then they'll disappear. They use camouflage throughout the world, so they kind of surprise attack you, or attack you from behind, or attack you from areas that you can't see. And then we have some larger scale aliens we haven't talked about yet. One is the Behemoth. It's this giant, giant creature that basically lives within the caves. He can take over areas. He can use buildings, use destruction around him to take you out.
Okay. And my last question, as a developer, how challenging was it to take the destructive element from the more open Red Faction guerrilla and take it underground into a more like closed-in space with the caves and the mines of Armageddon?
It's challenging because now what we're doing, I think the big thing that we try to focus on is 360 degrees of destruction in this game. On the surface of Mars, you have what's around you, but we don't really have that much on the ceilings, on the walls. This kind of gives us an opportunity to actually make the entire environment, everything man-made in the world, can be torn down, can be repaired, can be used as a weapon around you. So that was one of the challenges. I mean, it's just like using this ultimate technology, improving upon it, and adding weapons that would just suck people in. And, you know, we have the magnet gun in our game, which we really feel is kind of a selling point, where it's like you can take any object in the world and fling it at another enemy or another building if you want to. But we also have the nanoforge too, where what we've done is we've taken destruction and we've kind of reversed it, where you can repair everything in the game. It sounds kind of gimmicky at first, but the cool thing is, like, you get it at the beginning of the game, you can use it, for example, if there's a barricade in front of you, repair it back up, throw it at an enemy, repair it again, infinite ammo, a way of, you know, using the world around you to just provide destruction.
Yeah, I actually noticed that in the demo, how when the boss battle that was there, you could rebuild the barricades to keep cover going.
Really cool. So we hope it's good because it's not gimmicky. It's not just in one place or a couple places in the game. It's the entire world around you that you can use.
All right, well, thank you very much.
Absolutely.
For your
thank you.
I don't know. Maybe if I did, I'd know.